Issues Etc. Reformation Week begins October 21st. 5 days of Reformation-themed programs with some of your favorite guests. And here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Reformation Week bulletin insert. We have 5 different bulletin inserts for each time zone. Issues Etc. Reformation Week.
Well, Jupiter might almost be a star. Whatever Jupiter's made of is the same stuff that you and I are made of, and the same stuff that came out of stars.
Don't you know that you are a shooting star?
The normal reaction is to say, well, a child isn't quite as valuable as an adult. Well, as a Christian, we have a response to that, which is Jesus over and over again insisting that it's actually the reverse.
It's not your faith that forgives or serves or moves the mulberry tree. It's your Jesus in whom faith trusts.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
It is easy to kind of feel like the complete odd man out, isn't it? Because the cultural shift on the issue of marriage has taken place not so suddenly, but so decisively suddenly. It hasn't been a sudden change. It's been something that's been coming for years and years. It's been built upon previous changes that no one thought had anything to do with redefining marriage, like divorce laws and attitudes toward divorce and adultery and things like that. But here it is. And the change has been decisive. And I don't think we can expect the culture to go back to understanding a Christian worldview on marriage, much less anything approaching it. So what do? Do you shut up when the subject comes up at a dinner party or at the water cooler or over the back fence or talking with your family at the upcoming Thanksgiving dinner? Do you just keep your mouth shut and keep your head down and not say anything about marriage? I don't know that that can be an option for a Christian. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Peter Scherer joins us for the next half hour or so. We're going to be talking about speaking boldly about marriage and why we need to. Dr. Adam Francisco will be your guest after that. We'll talk about a Malaysian law that would forbid Christians in print to use the word Allah for God, which Christians do in Arabic-speaking or in Muslim-dominated places very often. And then we'll talk about media coverage of religion with George Conger of GetReligion.org. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at Issues ETC. Dr. Peter Scherer is a regular guest. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Confessing Marriage, Confessing Christ. Peter, welcome back.
Yeah, great to be with you, Todd.
You say this. This is more than a mere moral issue. You say marriage gets to the heart of our faith. What do you mean by that?
Well, I like the way you introduced this because we've kind of been, I think the Christian church has been kind of asleep on this issue, and maybe we've been in a tug of war, but we haven't been pulling that hard on it, and now instead of moving a couple inches a year, they've got the whole thing, and we're falling into the pit right now, and so we got to think hard together about what we're going to be and what our response is going to be, and I think among my friends and among fellow Christians, even colleagues, I find that many of them don't understand exactly how pressing this issue is, because they think of it in terms of, well, this is a moral issue in the sense of maybe gambling, or certainly we've had the problem of adultery and divorce and lots of things that have set upon us from our society that have been difficulties that we've had to deal with, and maybe we haven't dealt with them all that well. We have pornography. There are many issues which really, you could say, are a lot more pressing upon our people than the issue of gay marriage, because frankly, that only affects directly, you know, a certain amount of people, you could say, whatever the percentage is, and then maybe their families. So, and that is difficult. But this is an issue which really faces all of us as Christians, because it comes down, I think, to our basic confession. It comes down to, and it's not simply one law or one breaking of a code as if that were the thing, but it has to do with what we think of who Christ is and whether we, in fact, are going to be proud of what our Lord says and whether we're going to be able to confess what our Lord says before the world. And it gets to the heart of everything that we believe in and who Jesus is. So it's a lot more than simply, a moral issue. I think this is going to be the issue, I think, for our age on which churches will rise and stand or fall. I think this is the one.
Now, you say that there is a biblical use of marriage that is particularly aimed at describing Christ and his church together. Is that also at stake here? That is, if Christians say, look, define marriage however you want to, let's, live and let live, will they run the risk of forfeiting that biblical picture of Christ in the church that we have been given explicitly in marriage?
Well, I think it's going to be first, before we even get to that, I think that's right, and runs throughout the scriptures, there's the picture of Christ who is the groom for his bride, the church, and this we see in Ephesians, but we also see it in the Gospels. We see it in the Gospel of John, where John the Baptist describes himself as the friend of the bridegroom as he prepares the way for the groom to come to take his bride, the church. And this is imagery which is embedded in our salvation, that Christ the man has come to save his church and to wash her from all of her blemishes. But where I see the real dangers right now is a kind of blasé or indifference of our people. And I see it not only in our young people who have been indoctrinated by the culture, but I see it in people my age too, the middle-aged and even the older, is that they've bought into the cultural narrative that male and female no longer matter. They've bought into the cultural narrative that, well, really, love is what makes a marriage. And the problem is they've also then brought into the cultural narrative that to be for traditional marriage, which was, everyone, of course, thought this until a few years ago, that to be against these new patterns of marriage, including gay marriage, is in fact to be a hater and to be a bigot. And the problem then becomes, of course, is that we turn St. Paul into a bigot, and we turn Jesus into a hater, and we divorce ourselves from the biblical family. And I think, when you think back about how this has happened, it's been a number of years now where Christians have been, I think, urged to turn away from St. Paul. So Christians have been urged to turn away from St. Paul, certainly when it comes to women's ordination. Many Christians think that women's ordination is fine, and they say, well, St. Paul taught that, but he was, of course, misguided. He was part of the era of his age. So they have no problem throwing St. Paul under the bus. And then so also, I think, homosexuality came to be accepted, and then certain passages in St. Paul were dismissed. And they always took solace in, well, we have the Gospels. We have Jesus and the Gospels, and there we can find something that we can cling to, something that we can hold on to. Well, when we talk about marriage, I think now we're throwing Jesus under the bus, even directly. Of course, we always were before, because Jesus himself is the one who defines for us marriage in very clear words, going back to the book of Genesis. And he describes marriage as that between being a union of one man and one woman, that it's written into creation. And now, all of a sudden, we're questioning not simply St. Paul's, as horrific, as awful as that is, but now we are doubting Jesus himself, and in fact, we are now disassociating ourselves from Jesus. And I'm very struck by the words of Jesus, who says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, so also shall I be ashamed of him when the day of judgment comes. It's no good to say, I love Jesus, but I don't love his words. So I think this has got to be a wake-up call for our congregations, for our pastors, and we need to speak clearly on this, and we need to speak with a very strong voice at this time.
One of the things I've noticed, Peter, is it is a temptation. Some do succumb to it, to kind of be more gracious than God, when it comes to homosexuality, or more gracious than Scripture is in these things, and to kind of say, look, yeah, the Bible says that, but we're nicer than the Bible, or yes, may God may well have said that, but we're really, really nice people. What are your thoughts there?
Well, this is something I've heard you say before, I think, and you've said it well, is that in the Scriptures we learn that God is love, and in this view of thinking, love actually becomes God, and love trumps God. And what that does is, well, first of all, it doesn't understand what true love is, which God's love for us in Christ. And it is a kind of, in our society, as I look at this, how did we get to gay marriage? I think in many ways it makes us feel good about everything else that we've kind of done poorly. I mean, face it, as a society, I'm amazed that there's so many in society who think of themselves as enlightened, because now that they've come to this kind of not only tolerance but celebration of gay marriage, that they think they've advanced morally. And when you look at what our society and what this generation and the one has done before on sexual issues, it's been an abomination. It's been awful, and not simply because it's a terrible sin, which it is, but the effect that it's had. The effect that it's had on our families, the disintegration of the family, the disintegration of community. And it means that, it means that children don't have fathers in their homes. It means that children are growing up with only a mother at home, or children aren't growing up at all because they're being aborted in the womb. This generation is a funny thing to think that they somehow have a great wisdom in these matters when clearly the record has been of foolishness and destruction now for I don't know how many years.
We'll take a break when we come back. We'll talk more with Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about speaking boldly regarding marriage. Stay tuned.
These were some of the things on which my mind and spirit feed. But flesh and blood needs flesh and blood, and you're the one I need. Flesh and blood needs flesh and blood, and you're the one I need.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're talking about speaking boldly on the subject of marriage, something that's difficult to do. I will admit it's sometimes an embarrassment now. You used to be able to talk about these things. You didn't even really need to talk about them because it was considered to be kind of self-evident that marriage was what it was, and it wasn't being challenged. Of course, it is now being challenged. One of the things that you mentioned here, Peter, perhaps you alluded to it a moment ago, is that the wrinkle in this challenge, as opposed to previous challenges to marriage, like the changing of divorce laws or the changing attitudes in the church about divorce and adultery, the wrinkle here now is that vice is now presented as virtue. Why is that something new here?
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody, I think, that's going to say that divorce is in and of itself a good thing. Now, people might say in certain situations that divorce would be better than staying together because things have become irreconcilable. But nobody is going and saying divorce is a wonderful thing. And that's not, as Christians, we've been silent about it. And probably because of that, we feel guilty about it. So we haven't talked, it makes us less likely to talk about other things, like who are we to throw stones? But yeah, this is something different. That's why I think even though it's a minor issue in some ways, it's going to be the one that divides us the most as Christians. And for instance, I can talk about abortion, which is a controversial issue, I suppose. On the other hand, I think many Christians recognize that position to be the one that's right because human life is involved. So, but when it comes to this gay marriage now, this is a sin and it's an abomination. And I didn't like to use that word because that's too embarrassing now. But St. Paul's very clear about this, that this is a sin that's symbolic of our fallenness. That doesn't mean it's a greater sin than any other sin. That's not the point. It's, as you say, is this sin is now being treated as if it's a virtue and a good thing to be celebrated. Now, okay, maybe whatever your opinion on that, it's going to affect the attendance in our pews very much, because what will happen is this, is our young people, and it's not just our young people, are buying into this idea that gay marriage is in fact a good thing. And now, if it is a good thing, then it is true in their minds that we as Christians are close-minded, and we as Christians are bigots, and we as Christians, it would be like the Christian church might as well be, for a lot of these young people, we might as well be the Ku Klux Klan, or we might as well be the ones who are like guarding, like George Wallace, making sure that African Americans don't enter into the school. They think this is their crusade. And of course, I think we need to talk to our people that there is. When we talk about race, of course, there's nothing that divides us, black and white, whatever we might be. We are all together created in God's image. But male and female are fundamental, and they're different. It's written into who we are. I am a man, and my wife is a woman, and we are created for a purpose together. So I think this is going to be a huge challenge for our church. And I would say this to pastors, and I've heard pastors say this, that this is an issue that they would talk about, for instance, in a Bible study, but not from the pulpit. And I would say, no, we've got to preach in the pulpit. This is the issue of our day. Our people need, and frankly, a lot of our people need encouragement because they're starting to feel alone. And I can tell you there are a lot of faithful sheep out there who are wondering where the faithful shepherds are. They're saying, why aren't you calling out? And they know it to be true, but they're wondering where their leadership is. And I think we need to be their leadership, because when we talk about marriage, we're talking about God's good gift of creation. And when we talk about marriage, we're talking about salvation and recreation. We're talking about the gift of life. So these are issues that are fundamental to us because we celebrate the gift of life. I was just at a pro-life banquet. It was last night, and the speaker was profound. And he said this. It's interesting that when you look at a group like Planned Parenthood, the nation's number one abortion provider, they never celebrate marriage. Marriage means nothing to them. They do, however, celebrate gay marriage. And I think that's telling, because gay marriage, of course, has nothing to do with children. And the very purpose of marriage, it's not, we've gotten very selfish, and maybe that's part of the reason we're sheepish about speaking about it. But the very purpose of marriage is that we as men and women take responsibility. And marriage is not written because arbitrarily because we thought it would be a nice thing to do. But it just so happens biologically that only a male and a female coming together can create a child. And as society, we have a stake in that, that we have a stake in the mother and the father of that child actually taking responsibility for that child and raising the child. So I think this is going to be a wake-up call, I think, for a lot of us on a lot of issues. It's going to be a matter of faithfulness, but also it's going to we need to rally for the sake of the children.
Now, in that exactly in that vein, you point out that one of the hallmarks of the advocacy for the change in marriage, one of the hallmarks for the advocacy of the acceptance of homosexual behavior has been the gay pride movement. And some might say, well, what we need today is a straight pride movement or something like that. You say, no, we don't need any kind of pride movement. What are you talking about?
Well, I do say we need to have pride in Christ, is that in the end, and I tell people this because so many of our people are confused, and I understand that, because if I think we have we haven't talked about this like we should, we haven't really, you know, this gets to the, I think this gets at this question of in what way is salvation related to creation itself? And when you look at the book of Matthew begins, this is the book of the Genesis. It's a recreation. When you look at the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Created as human beings, we are. And then this same Creator who made us wonderfully male and female now brings to us our salvation. But I would say this to people is, I know a lot of you out there are confused. A lot of you feel sheepish, and I would say, hold fast and please give time for the Lord to teach. Ask your pastors to teach. Explore the scriptures together, because at this point, I think it's fine as a Christian to say, I don't understand. The people who are leading the gay rights movement, they seem to have a lot of good points, and I think that's a fair thing to say, but don't abandon the words of our Lord. I would say this. Our Lord loves you. He cares for you enough to die for you. Then he would not mislead you. Therefore, take time, pause, because the world is going so fast on this. Just pause for a little bit and say, what's this issue all about? And I would encourage pastors throughout our churches now to take time in lengthy Bible studies, and I think in their preaching, to kind of re-educate themselves and the people about the value of life, and actually ask the question, what is marriage? What's the purpose of marriage to begin with? And I think maybe then we can save some of our people.
With about a minute or so here, what would the shape of this be? You just talked about, you know, restudying this, looking at it again, reacquainting ourselves and the whole church with what marriage is and why God has given it to us. What would that sound like in a paragraph or so, with about a minute or so?
I think every challenge presents an opportunity, and every heresy gives us a chance to rethink and to confess the truth in a new way for our people. And I think what we want to say is, when we think about abortion, when we think about the disintegration of the family, when we think of the degradation of the human race and things like pornography and sex slavery, all of these things come down to the question of the dignity of the human person. That, and I think we need to speak about how God has created us in his image, that we bear the mark of our Creator, and that in Christ we are indeed a new creation because of what he has done for us on the cross, because of our baptism and our new identity. That yes, we're sinners and that we struggle, but we have an inherent dignity because of God in creation and because of what Christ has done for us. So I think this is a chance to re-embrace the God who created us and to re-embrace the dignity that it seems that it's so lost when we look in our world today.
Dr. Peter Scares, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Confessing Marriage, Confessing Christ. Peter, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
This is certainly one of the issues that your kids will face if they head off to the university or to college, and when they come back, their minds may be changed. Why? Not because you didn't teach them sufficiently what marriage is, but because perhaps you failed to teach them that there was a challenge out there that they would need to answer. Now, I know that's exactly what that's like. You know, parents fail. That's part of what we do. But we can't expect any longer for the culture to do our heavy lifting for us, or much less the university to reinforce what it is Scripture has, what Scripture has been taught to our kids through us and through the church. That's why there is an organization called LCMSU. They know the challenges that college and university students face on all these fronts, and they are there to help you as parents and your student children. Find out more about LCMSU, lcms.org/LCMSU. When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about a Malaysian law that has been in the courts for some time, has gone one way and now has gone the other. And as it stands in Malaysia, a Christian publishing cannot use the word Allah. Only Muslims can do that now. Dr. Adam Francisco will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for October is a biography titled The Mother of the Reformation, The Amazing Life and Story of Catherine Luther. This new Reformation resource provides an inside look into the daily lives of Martin and Katie Luther. The Mother of the Reformation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Mother of the Reformation, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.